Post in the lead podcast. I'm Keetra Long.
And it's Wit.
Be Mike Wit. How you doing?
I'm cool.
What you been doing?
What I've been doing?
Yeah.
Been working. That's it.
Working. Working 9 to 5 just to make a little living. Working something. I don't know those lyrics.
What's that from?
I think it's a movie, and I think it's Dolly Parton, and I think she made that song. Don't quote me on that. Oh, I could be lying. I could be telling you a bald head lie.
You know, we used to those.
Ooh. The ghetto. What? What you mean you used to? What you mean you used to?
We used to bald head lies.
How?
Because people be lying.
But don't put me. I mean, you little mixy with that. Why you put me in there?
You put it on yourself.
I said I could. Yeah, I could,
exactly.
I could say that about me.
Okay,
but
so
don't
I
you
was agreeing with you?
Don't no co-conspirator that.
What are you talking about today? How are you feeling?
Well, I think I got. I feel okay. Very on the, I'm at 68%,
mm-hmm.
if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
68% because, I don't know, my sign is destroying me these days.
Yeah.
And it might be an allergic reaction to my treatment, but yeah. But, I mean, last few of the good days before I go back to get cooked. Yeah.
I say you always feel pretty good right before you go back in.
Going to the gotta take my body to the shop.
Yeah.
Gotta go get cooked.
Going strong.
Right now I'm a chicken fillets. You know, if you cook them too much, how rubbery they
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a little rubbery chicken fillet. Yeah. A little shish kebab.
A little tough.
A little tough.
Tough right now.
A little tough on the teeth.
Yeah.
Speaking of teeth, I went to the dentist again. I tried to get my teeth.
That's like episode one.
It's still in there. Oh, weird. Mm-hmm. It was in that. But actually, on a positive note, my new dentist, whom I love, who's right down the street while I was searching near and far for a great dentist or the dentist that I've been going to, who are dipshits, by the way, my previous dentist. Just ignorant. But yeah, my new dentist, who is right down the street that I discovered.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's a cavity. It's just a big cavity on your wisdom tooth. Now, it's up to you. He said, the tooth ain't worth saving it. I said, I ain't been trying to save it. Pull it. But he said, you cooking right now. You really want to do that? Let me talk. So, he currently, we going back and forth with my oncologist. And I appreciate that. Because the other dentist.
Yeah.
He was just like, run me to M's and I can take it out.
Yeah.
It's all a money racket. But, you know, nonetheless, I'm good. You have anything interesting and exciting you want to tell us?
No, not really.
You get very whistle. Very whistle, like you whistle.
Like,
yeah, you give that, like you just do that all day.
Why? Because I have a lisp?
No, because you'd be like, oh, nothing, just be asking about updates and stuff, and you just be like,
ain't nothing exciting. So I've just been working. That's working is not exciting. I just go to work.
No, what about that time? What about time you got shot by that dog? What about that? Talk about yeah, that big tits.
We already talked about that.
Talk we about. So I put him in the full Nelson. Mm-hmm. Today I wanted to talk about. Hey, if you was a kid of the 90s, early 2000s.
The 80s, apparently. An 80s kid?
80s?
That's what I heard.
90s? 80s, 90s?
Yeah.
80, 90s, 2000s. 80, 90s, 2000s. I guess that would be true. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But if you're a kid, I can speak for the 90s and the 2000s kids. Then, you know, the beloved VJ, Ananda Lewis. That's when videos used to be on TV, the new kids, your new people. That's when videos was videoing. We remember Ananda Lewis. And I wanted to talk about that today because she passed away a few days ago. And I sent that to you. Oh, no, actually, you told me, David. Mm-hmm. You told me. Now, yeah, oh, I remember that feeling because when you told me, you was like,
yeah, I didn't want to tell you.
And you didn't want to tell me.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Mm-hmm. Because I immediately went into panic mode and started thinking. But what was weird about that is I already knew Ananda had been diagnosed with breast cancer and her story. And I would periodically go and check her page for updates. And she hadn't updated her page since 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I mean, I was hoping for the best, but I was thinking like, damn. So it did come as anytime something is sudden, it's a shock. So no matter how much we knew or know, but it was sudden to us, but I'm sure to the ones who her family and loved ones, it wasn't sudden to them going right through that process.
Yeah. She had been going through it for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know the process because it was the same process we went through with my grandmother. My grandmother was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. It had already spread it. She didn't want to do any type of chemo.
Yeah.
Nothing. She did not want to do that. However, my grandmother lived 6 years after her diagnosis with stage 4. Mm-hmm. But that was not without consequence. She lost like taste, eating. She barely wanted to eat. I mean, it was just a lot of stuff. The process is very sad. And I think my grandmother knew. She definitely know because it was very severe by the time it came to light with us. Ananda was diagnosed. A little bit of backstory and why this is important to me. In 2019, Ananda publicly announced that she was diagnosed with breast cancer. In 2020, I think it was, she came back and said, I'm going to keep my tumor. My body is intelligent, and I believe it will heal itself.
She was diagnosed with stage 3, right?
No. Initially in 2019,
mm-hmm.
It was just that's the first diagnosis. In
yeah, I think it was stage 3. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure it was stage 3, but I know during COVID,
mm-hmm.
It had progressed to stage. She was already in stage three during COVID, and then it had progressed to stage four. So COVID was 2019 to like 2021, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So in any case, that was the thing. She already knew about the tumor, and she chose to reject chemo and a mastectomy. And that's why I think it was early when she found out, because she had the option of a mastectomy. And I know the first time I just had a lumpectomy, you know.
Just clarification. I looked it up and it says she was originally diagnosed with stage three. It spread to her lymph nodes.
Mm. That was in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's when she decided to keep her lump and not get the double mastectomy.
Yeah.
She did receive radiation.
Yeah, which is a part of shrinking it.
Mm-hmm.
I also had radiation the first time, but that was after my lumpectomy. Which brings me to today's topic, Black people versus Western medicine. I feel like, and I know a lot of Black people have an aversion to Western and modern medicine. I know for one thing, and this is part of the reason why, like, I don't like to be talking or announcing things. These people gonna Dr. Sebi me to death. You gotta eat. And I it's so crazy because I bought the the nuts.
The apricot nuts.
I bought the tea. I had you on the journey down there. Watch. Getting the tea. So does the 5-year-old ass leaves. But people was in my DMs. People were messaging me. Hey, put baking soda.
All the home remedies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That feel like home remedies, but they feel like it's medicine.
Right.
Honestly. And I feel like so much of that is deep rooted in slavery. And just how Black people have come through that and come through today in society. Like, my mom worked at a hospital. My mom was a nurse, but I don't remember my mama barely going to the hospital or the doctor. And my grandma did. I never, until my grandma was sick, well, she had like something going on with her stomach like one time. But other than that, before she received her diagnosis, my grandma never went to the hospital or the doctor.
Yeah. Well, you see now, my grandmother is avoiding going to the doctor and is obviously something that needs to be checked out.
Yeah. It's really weird how it just goes back several generations to where it seemed like Black people just scared of the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I say that's the way you go to die. Go to the doctor. He was okay, and then he went to the doctor, and all of a sudden.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, that's just. I mean, it is justifiable. I mean, throughout history, we know so many things and so many reasons why that is. The Tuskegee experiment. We know about Henrietta Lacks. Holmberg prison experiments where most of it is slavery and prisons or institutionalization where Black people are confined and suppressed in these particular spaces, and they're used to experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time we know that experimenting doesn't turn out well.
Right. I was about to say, don't even seem like experiments to get to something better. It just seems like, let's see what happens.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's throughout history. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were sterilizing Black women and Black men in prison. And during slavery, they sterilized Black women, and they said it was to eliminate the feeble, weed out the feeble.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even find the words.
Yeah.
And then just going into the 1900s, yeah, just different experiments where it never ended up well for Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Syphilis, they kept syphilis during that Tuskegee years, but they kept syphilis in Black men, even though the penicillin had been invented. They kept it in Black men for like 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see what happened.
Just to see, yeah.
You can keep that.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it. So, I can understand.
Right. Needless to say.
Needless to say.
Yeah.
We see why. If, you know, especially history repeats itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then in modern time, modern day, in modern society, we just have this abundance of Black women who don't want to go to the doctor when they get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Or to have their baby because they're in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And arguably understandable, right? Because
mortality rates are what, 3 times as high?
Yeah,
right.
We know about the girl, the one super young couple, where they decapitated the baby.
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
Put the head back on. Mm-hmm. Like,
and the girl, I think her name is Adriana Smith, currently in Georgia, who they're keeping on life support
because
for her fetus. Yeah, but she's brain dead.
Yeah. And her parents can't do anything about it.
Right. They have no say so.
Because of the
law. That is an experiment.
Yeah.
That is an experiment. Let's see what happens, because we don't even know. We don't even know if this baby will be viable.
Especially how much of our daily function or just functioning proper is based on our brain function.
Right. Right.
So how is her fetus getting nutrients and sustenance and the
things, everything it needs?
Everything it needs.
Right.
If.
Right. It's an experiment.
Yeah. It's wild.
It is wild.
Yeah. Because what is whoever has legality over you in a situation like that, that in and of itself is that's kind of wild to me. And I don't know, man. In any case, I can see why Black people have an aversion to Western medicine. I myself, technically, because I'm all broke up on my inside, I've been going to the doctor since since before I can remember, but I had a heart problem. And I'm one of the fortunate ones, because they opted not to do surgery and just to, they're just like, most of these things, you know, they close up, they heal themselves, they heal on their own. They thought it was like 20 different things. And now in my adulthood, I'm finding out it's something else completely. But with that, I technically never had a problem with my heart, even though the condition still exists.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess I consider myself fortunate in that sense. But let's get to the reverse of that, to the other side of this conversation. I feel like God laid it on somebody's heart for science to evolve and heal.
Mm-hmm.
Patch up or whatever. I do believe that the body naturally repairs itself, but sometimes need a little assist.
Yeah, sometimes you're beyond that. Like we talked about the other day, all those, it's not to say those home remedies aren't effective or they don't work, but I feel like in most instances, those are preventative actions. You know what I mean? Those aren't cures for diseases and cancers. Those are things that you can do to prevent your body to getting past the point of no return.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Before it goes down. Yeah. Again, somebody real close to me. I don't think they meant it though when I first told them about my diagnosis. Can't you just stop eating sugar? Shut your ass up.
Don't do her like that.
You
do need to stop eating sugar. Two things can be true.
I do, but before this I wasn't eating sugar like I do now.
True.
I've been on like fasting from sugar and breads for like the past 2-3 years.
Them Reese's sticks that you used to eat all the time, every month.
Once a month, but on a on a consistent basis. I needed that. I'm not having them problems these days.
I mean, if you're eating food, if you're buying groceries and eating food in America, more than likely you are not abstaining from sugar in any way.
That's fair. But just pouring it in my body.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, I have a, yeah, that's why I had to like slow down on sugar, because I mean, sugar be taking me down through there. I mean, I want a cookie and a milkshake right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Before we started recording, I was like, hey, wait, you want to go get
okay, we could just go after.
I hope this episode talked me down. Talk me down.
Keisha want a cookie and a milkshake.
A cookie
right
and
now.
A milkshake. Childish. So delicious. Whip be coming by her. Whip be coming over here with the milkshake, the strawberry milkshake.
Okay. I'm not the one in the treatment.
And then when she go, ooh, way to make me feel it. Jeez.
You on a special diet right now.
Way to make me feel it. Y'all be eating kale.
Yeah. Kale and spinach.
Ooh. Carrots. Fruit.
So good.
Fruit.
So good.
Delicioso. I be trying to get on my health kick. Yeah. But Eastern medicine. Like I said, black people gonna Dr. Sebi me to death. Mm-hmm. Here's my stance on it. Here's what I do. No, believe and think. I know several, if not all, the people that I've known or know that have been diagnosed with cancer and did chemo. Most of them, if not all, have they still alive. They living.
Mm-hmm.
I have no proof that Eastern medicine, herbs, and stuff like that works.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find 300 videos. They don't want you to know.
I do agree with they don't want you to know certain things. I don't. But again, two things can be true. Like, they don't want. They, of course, big pharma is big business. So they want to sell you on the narcotics and drugs.
But,
you know, that doesn't mean it doesn't work, and everything in moderation, you know what I mean? And science is true.
Right.
science is proven. Yeah.
Science is proven. But like I said, I mean, two things can be true. Remember we went to the emergency room? You remember you went to emergency room with me? Oh, we talked about this on another episode where the chick was like, you never done narcotics? Mm-hmm. This is one of the things, you know, because I don't never be on the defense, but my brain don't work. I'm like, bitch, wait, is it because I'm black? You want to ask me about narcotics? Or it was either like, she was saying, like, bitch, I get down every day.
Well, she literally said, well, you said your pain was like a 10, an 8 or a 10. And she's like, well, if my pain was an 8 or a 10, I would want it.
I bet. I bet you would.
So she all down. She all in for the morphine.
Right.
Right. And it's not to say it doesn't. If your pain is a 10, I'm sure it does work.
But, oh.
You know.
Absolutely, but people be getting hooked on morphine. Right. I mean, but like I was in pain, but like also, bitch, I'm talking to you. I'm not screaming or howling out.
But see, that's what
you don't gotta go. You went from like skip Tylenol.
I was gonna say that's why they think black women can tolerate pain better. Cause you be looking them dead in their face and say it's a 10, they be like, so.
Yeah, I was
you
gonna
don't look like you're a 10.
Yeah,
just because you be in here hooting and hollering.
Right. I want to
Jesus Christ.
Why don't you just let him? What happened? He was over there asleep.
I know.
We and Kaiser have a buddy cop relationship.
Teacher's unruly son over here. Biting on me.
He love you. Wait. You come on. Let me bite you. Let me scratch you. Let me come on. Wait.
Yo, ass teachers do.
Anyway. Yeah. I do think like from when we were children, personally, my grandma did you know, raise me to tolerate pain. He'll put this
right.
on it.
Right.
Put this on it. I'm not one to sit at. I'm not going to sit up at no hospital. I'm not going
right.
to sit up at no doctor.
Right. Because they will have you in there for 7 hours. And
yeah.
then be like, yeah, so, I mean.
Tylenol.
We'll prescribe you this.
Tylenol.
These painkillers. And good luck. Talk to your doctor.
Right. All right. But, I do believe there's a gap between black people and medicine. Black men have the highest hypertension rates. They don't get checked. I don't know anybody in my life. I can't. Oh, well, my two of my aunties. But until I became an adult, it was nobody around me that was an example of the importance of how important it is to go get your mammogram, your pap smear, your physical, the dentist, and I started doing that consistently by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, find a doctor, like, get your health in order.
Yeah.
Like,
find a doctor that you trust and that you feel gives you the attention that you need to feel comfortable with going and getting checked out.
Consistently.
Yeah. But that, you know, that requires, I think we should, it should be set up where whatever doctor you see, you can trust.
Right.
And they do what they need to do. But you have to put in the work and be consistent. And try again. If that first doctor that you meet you don't like, find another one.
Right.
And you have to put in the work for that, though.
For sure. You got to be a little bit. I mean, again, I just tell people all the time. Just from going through cancer the first time, I had to be a little bit relentless. I had to be a renegade. Because they weren't listening to
right.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody pays it. Especially when you're young. When you in your 20s, don't no doctors really pay attention to you? They don't care about nothing but your pap smear and if you're pregnant.
So imagine, like, what? The first mammogram you're supposed to get is age 40?
Yeah.
Imagine if you never went. from the first time or now.
Yeah. I can only imagine if I never went to the doctor. Like.
And you just waiting around until they say when you should go.
Waiting around until 40.
Yeah.
Be out here. Oh, she was so young.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
Oh.
People are being diagnosed with cancer much younger than we expect.
19.
Yeah.
19. Met a 19-year-old girl diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah.
And also, I think about that, too, what my surgeon said. Like, so because I was in remission living my life and I was going to get checkups, I didn't think, you know. But he definitely had told me already, yo, when you young and you have breast cancer, it's highly likely to come back. Even though my UNCO score is the test that they give you that's not relevant to Black women or most women anyway. That's supposed to tell you your chances of it coming back. My UNCO score was like a 6 out of 100.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And oh, so,
with that being said,
I think a lot of women, I am fearful of getting a mammogram because I was always told it's painful. So for people who don't know, because you've had a mammogram.
Always. I'm mammed up.
So for people who don't know, like, tell us the experience of getting a mammogram. Like,
you know the cheese press? the griddle, the cheese press, that's a mammogram.
The panini
press. In summation, the panini press, they panini press.
Now that sounds painful.
If you ain't got a woman in there that care about your titty, she gonna slap it. She gonna slap your titty. Put further. You know what? It's worse when you don't have no titties. I think if you have big titties, it might be better. But when I tell you, they be squeegeeing my face. They be squeegeeing my face on the machine. I be like, hey, man, I ain't no more. It's my sternum, ma'am. That's my sternum. Let me, ma'am.
It be the little titty showing out with the breast cancer, boy.
What? The little titty?
Mm-hmm. Jessie J just announced that she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
I mean, do she got her real titties?
Mm-hmm.
Real little titties?
Yeah, very little.
Do your dance, Kelsa. Kelsa be like, it's
bullying, y'all. That's messed up.
Kelsa be claustrophobic as fucking these little titties. They be like, we'll stay. It's warm in here. We'll stay in here.
It's cozy.
Not a lot of space. Don't come in here breast milk. Don't come in here fucking up the party.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. And they say it's all... Also, too, they say if you haven't had a child before childbearing age,
mm-hmm.
you're mm-hmm. a high risk for breast cancer.
Oh, my God, today.
Right.
I ain't got no babies, and I got little titties.
Right. Which leads me to my next subject. Most of these studies that are done as far as medical trials and studies on women, they're done on men.
Which is insane.
Men, white men, 20s to 40s.
Makes no sense.
And they're coming back. Listen, let me say this. Nah, they ain't figured out period irregularities, fibroids.
Menopause.
None of the shit that really affects women, but right. They done perfected the breast implant.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Look,
they can't wait to do that on you.
Do you want them to fall? Do you want them high? Do you want them to touch? Do you want them apart? How you want your something aesthetic for them?
Yeah. All we got practice.
Right.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Do you listen? Do you want some water balloons in your chest? We can do that for you.
Yeah.
You don't want these. You don't want them little titties no more. Got the big pack for you.
You still didn't really explain a mammogram, but it's okay.
I digress. All right. So basically, the mammogram, it's really like a panini press.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just like this apparatus that looks like an arm bar. And it's a small table about the size of a shoebox, a small shoebox. Leave it.
Leave it? That's hilarious. Okay.
See? Not even the mammogram wants you to tell me to want to tell
Shut
you.
Your
me
ass
to tell,
up.
Yeah. They're like, she gotta come in here and get pressed up. But yeah. Basically it's a smaller table and you go and you put your titty on it. If you got titties. Now if you got small titties like me, you're fucked. Because it's really like you have to get as close to the machine as possible. And it's really like putting your face against a store window.
Yeah.
Like, for real. And then you lay whatever God gave you on the table.
Yeah.
And then they bring another piece that's the same size as the table down. It's plastic and it's clear.
Oh.
And then they make you hold your breath and then they squeeze it together. Mm-hmm. And then they make you do that like 4 or 5 times from 3 different angles. Which I'm like, hey, bitch, slow me down. Why so many pictures? You take the left side, you take the right side, but I'm standing in one position. Yeah, they make you turn to the left. They make you turn to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take something straight ahead. Something like a mugshot for your titties.
Right. Yeah. That was cute.
Yeah, it's sort of like a mugshot for your titties.
Yeah.
And yeah, you hold your breath. Did I say that part?
Yeah,
you hold your breath. You, and then you let go. And then they look to see if they took the pictures right, honey.
How long you think that whole process takes? Is it quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
If you ain't moving, you got to hold still. Mm. You know what? I hate when doctors say hold still. If you tell me once, this is the procedure. And then the diagram on the wall. They see my black self. They probably, she can't read.
Oh, my God.
Like, she can't read. We got to keep reiterating.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the mammogram process. But what I want to talk about was, like, how we bridge the gap in society between black people and going to the doctor and getting regular checks and trusting medicine. Trusting Western medicine and understanding that nothing's guaranteed, but something that's proven is better than something that's where you just hoping.
Yeah, you're just winging it.
Yeah. Hey, them apricot kernels can kill you.
Right. Stop eating the apricot kernels.
Stop. That's side eye poison. Stop. Don't. Hey, man, stay off TikTok. Yeah. With your ailments. Stay out. The blacks, stay out TikTok.
I think
everybody's body is different. Had I ate the apricot kernels,
could have been out of here.
I don't weigh but 109 pounds.
Could have been out of here. Whole time your oncologist is like, I could have treated it.
Yeah.
I could have treated it. It was treatable.
Hey, didn't I say?
Yeah.
Didn't I sound assured for you?
Yeah. But I think as far as bridging the gap, I think it back to what I was saying earlier, I think it's just a matter of first you're going to have to want to. You can't make nobody do something they don't want to do. But just putting in the effort and the time to find that doctor that you trust. And that takes the time out to listen to you, make you feel as though they're listening to you, and that you have a personalized experience at the doctor. But that's up to you. You have to do that.
Yeah. And I think most people, if they feel fine, a lot of healthcare is preventative care.
Yeah.
That's what
it is. The best care is preventative care.
That's why you go to the doctor every year. That's why they invented checkups. That's why they invented to the dentist, because your teeth can't kill you. Go to the dentist. It's okay. It's okay.
Getting ahead of it is the best.
Yeah.
And probably the best way to build the trust with the medical industry. Yeah.
But also, yes, I do believe in knowing thine self. Like, you actually, when the doctor asking you questions and you be like, I don't know if it was there. I just got this knot. You supposed to know that. Mm-hmm. You are supposed to know what your body is doing different.
Right.
And as you grow, it'll just be different things, especially women, especially women, you know, moving into your, from your 20s to your 30s, like go through your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, your body just goes through a lot of changes. And you're supposed to know how that works.
And if you don't feel right about what a doctor's saying, or if you're not trusting it, ask more questions or find a second opinion.
Oh.
Second, third, fourth opinion.
That second opinion go hard. Unless, like, I mean, personally, I'm just grateful that I, you know, had somebody that I could, that I trust, that I could call, that was like holding my hand and walked me through it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's key. Getting a good ass medical team. Get a referral. Get, if you like your physician, your primary care physician, get the recommendations from your primary care physician. And doctors know, they know each other, they talk.
Yeah.
And also, if you don't like the person he recommended the first time, ask him for a second or do your own research. Your Google is the informational wealth.
And advocate for yourself.
Yes. Yes. So, just going back to this another thing. Ultimately, she says she regretted her decision.
Mm-hmm. Of not getting the mastectomy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's very sad. I know I had another friend after I was in remission for a couple of years. Her aunt had breast cancer, and she was trying to cure that shit by smoking weed.
No, she was trying to escape by smoking weed. That's what she was doing.
Yeah, I just feel like, and she asked me for my advice and my opinion. Yo, I will tell you this. I'm fearful. My lumpectomy was the first surgery that I had, and my biggest fear is being put under.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, to this day, scared the hell out of me. But you talk to the doctor. They make you feel, if they don't make you feel 110% secure in what it is, don't do it with them. Yeah. Get somebody you trust. I can't emphasize that enough, because I think she was in like maybe stage one, stage two at the most.
Could have knocked that out. Yeah.
And been good.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, you probably wouldn't even had to do chemo.
Mm-hmm.
A little radiation. Patch you right on back up.
Yeah.
But watched her dwindle away just by smoking weed. So it's like, when people reject modern medicine, I'd be like, maybe you need, it's available. Think about it.
Yeah. Right. It's there for you. So.
Right. We see people out here thriving after it. We see that. We can see that. I ain't never seen nobody smoke weed and survive breast cancer. Haven't seen it. You the litmus.
Somebody about listening to be like, I've seen it. Okay. All right.
We'll be like, girl, you the litmus test.
Yeah. There's always exceptions to the rule, but modern medicine is available.
Yeah. Well, when I see it, seeing is believing. I'm going to tell you, And people's biggest thing, you can't see God, but you believe in him.
Fair.
Fair.
That's a fair point.
Fair. But don't try to intimidate me and manipulate me. Because God had to lay it on somebody's heart.
That's what we talked about. Even when you went to your oncologist and he was giving you the diagnosis and telling you that it was treatable, you can even tell in his face, he was like, I don't want to have to convince this girl to do chemo.
He walked in like he was offering me some molly.
Like, listen.
He was like, what? Shit.
Hey. Like, let me go ahead and get my speech together for her because I already know.
He straightened out his jacket. It looked like he ironed his jacket that day for me. Listen. You got it. No doubt. You got it. It's bad. But do you want? You want to try this shit?
He said, chemo?
He's like, chemo? And then I was like, yeah, sure. He was like, shit, why are you
like,
that?
Girl?
I didn't even have to do my little speech for you.
Yeah. He's probably used to
black women
trying to convince people all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's favorite line to me is, you young, you healthy. You young, you healthy.
It's true.
You young, you healthy.
They get excited for that. You young. You know what I'm saying?
You young, you healthy.
This was made for you.
Right. Right. This for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead and show them how it's done, little mama.
Right.
That's what I be talking about with the whole beacon of light thing. They be looking at me like, huh. That's how they be making me feel. If she can do it, I know I can. And you can, for real. Not just because it's me, but many people, many, 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 many people before and after me. So, I mean, those are my thoughts. And I was very sad when I learned that about Ananda. You know that. That's why you didn't want to tell me that.
Yeah.
Because I had been kind of following her journey and I looked some stuff up. Didn't even know she had a son.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
And a husband.
Yeah. A lot of people, it was all down the timeline. It was everywhere. A lot of people were sad.
But then again, yeah, she got lost in my early 2000s shuffle. School. School. It's time for the new. Yeah, no, I loved her. I did. I loved her artistry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very sad.
You know, we all have a right to take control of our health and deal with it the way that we see fit.
Again,
go get your checkups. Ladies, go get your mammograms. Find a doctor you trust. Be proactive with your health.
Come on, wrap it up with.
It's important.
When last time you been to the doctor?
Girl, it is not about me.
It is about you. That's
it
the,
is not. This is not
that's
about
the
me.
Point. That's the point of this episode.
Be better than me.
Doctor be like,
be better than me.
Doctor gonna be like, what's your previous primary care physician?
Be like, yeah.
I'm gonna be like, ma'am, you need a tune-up. Ma'am, bring you to the shop.
I definitely need some new spark plugs.
At least a little oil change. Mm-hmm. A little oil change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, I can't stress to y'all enough. Like, you gotta trust somebody. Y'all know my mentality. My heart is open. And sometimes that don't come without consequence. But I feel like, especially for black women, especially. And I'm about to get emotional because y'all know I be emotional. Yeah, I can't stress the importance of health is wealth. Like, for real. and doing it and letting your body tell you what's wrong so you can get it fixed. It's out there. Demand it. Demand it. Demand. Fight for your life.
Mm.
At all costs. Because somebody love you. Somebody somewhere love you. And people need
you. You should love yourself.
Love yourself enough. That's it. And know that you have something to offer this world. Yeah. I think this is a special episode of the Post and Delete podcast. For questions and or comments, or you just want to cuss us out, you want to say some,
tell us something we was wrong about. You know, they love doing that.
I know y'all can't wait to tell us how wrong we is. And Dr. Sebi us down in our DMs. Email us at the Post and Delete podcast. We're going to get a text number soon. But for now, email us at POST, the letter NDELETE, podcast@gmail.com. And we will, I get back to y'all. I will. I will. I start checking out email now. And I know. It be some good stuff in there. So, and you know, follow me on all the socials. I'm at KETRALONG, Ketralong, on all the platforms, on everything. You want to shout out your socials?
Nope.
This has been the Post and Delete podcast. We will see y'all next week. Take care of yourself.
Bye.